The state's multi-billion-dollar budget hole has prompted lawmakers to consider a variety of new tax revenues and tax increases, ranging from a wealth tax on billionaires to taxing marijuana sales. But a coalition of public health officials would like to add another suggestion to the mix, increasing the state's taxes on cigarettes. To discuss the campaign, which is designed to curb smoking rates in New York and therefore improve health outcomes, we're joined by Dr. Disha Mukherjee, a cardiologist at Saratoga Hospital and member of the Capital Region Board of Directors of the American Heart Association. Hello, doctor.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And we also have Caitlin O'Brien, the New York Director of Government Relations for the American Heart Association. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Hi. Thanks so much for having us.
So according to 2018 data analyzed by the Tax Foundation, New York's excise tax rate of $4.35 per package of 20 cigarettes was tied for the highest in the nation and is on top of a federal tax of about $1 and a local New York City tax of $1.50. So Caitlin, why do you want to increase the price by at least another dollar?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, New York is used to being a leader in public health, and for a long time we've been a leader in tobacco control measures, which is fantastic. We are starting to slip just a little bit. So actually, we are behind Washington, D.C. They're at $4.50 for their cigarette tax, and Chicago is at $7.16. And there's a few other localities across the state that are starting to realize the public health and financial benefits of an increase in tobacco taxes. So when I say tobacco taxes, I mean cigarette taxes and tobacco and taxes on other tobacco products, including e-cigarettes, cigars, hookah. So really, it's time that we look at raising tobacco taxes. It's been 10 years, and that means that the tax is stale. So kids have grown up with tobacco products at one price, meaning the taxes aren't having that deterrent effect that they're meant to have. You know, smokers don't see the price and say, oh my gosh, I need to quit. And kids don't see this. It's like, oh, I'm not wasting my money on that. You know, they've grown used to it. So it's absolutely time that we look at increasing these tobacco taxes, you know, and the public health impacts of an increased tobacco tax are real. I'm sure Dr. Mukherjee can talk a little bit about this, but the World Health Organization did come out and say that smokers are more likely to contract severe cases of COVID-19. So, like I said, anything that we can do to help keep kids from starting an addiction and get smokers to quit is critically important always, but I would say more so now during a pandemic.
Yeah, Dr. Mukherjee, can you kind of highlight and give us a little refresher about the public health risk that smoking poses, and how it's kind of been exacerbated by the pandemic?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So as we know that as a cardiologist and heart disease being the leading cause of death in men and women, even before COVID came about, and one of the biggest risk factors out there is smoking. And so now with the pandemic on top of all of this, I heard of a patient who had been smoking for so long, had already had emphysema and COPD, gets COVID, and unfortunately, he didn't make it out of the hospital. And so these patients who already, because smoking actually contributes to so many of our chronic diseases that we see in the hospital, from emphysema, COPD, lung cancer, of course, heart disease, stroke. And so you already have a body that's debilitated by these diseases, and then you tack on COVID-19 on top of that, and it's absolutely horrendous and tragic.
So, Caitlin, in addition to being a deterrent for people who are thinking about buying cigarettes, what would you want to see that additional revenue used for?
Yeah, so the good news is that we have an opportunity with this tax revenue to further help public health. So the state's tobacco control program is the program that runs the state's quit line, and it's responsible for providing resources and tools to all communities all across the state to encourage people to quit, to help them understand the dangers of e-cigarettes and cigarettes. So we would love to see a portion of this new revenue going to this program because it focuses so heavily on prevention and treatment, which is critical. And the program has not seen an increase in years. So the CDC actually recommends that for the tobacco control program to be as effective as it needs to be, it should be funded at $203 million. Currently, we're at $33 million. This is is the second year in a row that we've been there. You know, we would love to see this program fully funded, but, you know, we know and we can appreciate that this is a tough fiscal budget year for the state. So we'd like to see just a slight increase. You know, even $1 million more going to this program will go so far in helping the contractors who administer this program get the resources to New Yorkers who need it the most.
As of November, state taxes on cigarettes and tobacco had brought in more than $700 million in revenue. But like you say, funding for tobacco control is just a tiny fraction of that amount. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem like we have a revenue problem when it comes to investments in tobacco control, rather a lack of commitment by the governor and the legislature to spend money where it belongs. So shouldn't the focus simply be on spending money that we're already bringing in on tobacco control?
You know, that's a huge portion of it. You know, let's have some of these funds dedicated and earmarked to protecting public health. And on top of that, an increase in just the cigarette tax alone by $1 can bring in $30.4 million. So it's like, why not just take that money and just do exactly what you're saying, dedicate it to these programs that we know have a problem. And I think it makes the case even stronger when you tie this financial piece with long-term healthcare savings. You know, New York State spends a lot of money, about $9.7 billion on tobacco-related healthcare costs. So when you start looking at what a $1 tax increase on a cigarette tax could mean, you're looking at a five-year Medicaid program savings of $46.11 million. You're looking at long-term healthcare cost savings from adults and youth smoking decline of over $1 billion. So you're looking at significant healthcare savings on top of the additional revenue resources that are coming in. And not to mention, most importantly, the public health benefits, right? There would be 6,500 fewer smokers between 18 to 24 years old. There would be 60,000 adult smokers who would quit. And just under 30,000 youth under the age of 18 would be kept from becoming an adult smoker if you raise the cigarette tax by just a dollar. And I'm sure Dr. Mukherjee can touch on this too, but keeping kids from starting their addiction while young is critically important. You know, if they start young, that impact that nicotine has on the brain is going to set them up for a lifetime of addiction.
So, Caitlin, an excise tax like this, though, is a regressive tax, meaning it's going to disproportionately affect low-income New Yorkers. Are you concerned at all about having a tax structure like that?
You know, this is a common, you know, kind of piece of misinformation that is put out there by the tobacco industry itself. The tobacco industry has spent decades and decades marketing and advertising their products disproportionately to low-income communities, to Black and Latinx communities, and as a result, we have seen greater health disparities because of tobacco use amongst these communities. So what we are trying to do with this tax increase is to extend health protections to all New Yorkers, especially and including those who have suffered at the hands of the tobacco company the most, right? We want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to help encourage people to not smoke. And the good thing is if we do pass this tobacco tax and we do earmark a portion of it to go to the tobacco control program, this is the program that will help these low-income New Yorkers the most, right? This is the program that's going to provide the tools and the resources and the nicotine replacement therapies to these communities and say, hey, you know what? This is how you quit. We're here for you. We can help you.
So I'm not disagreeing with you that it seems like low-income people are more apt to smoke, but any sort of sales tax is a regressive tax because it's not structured based on income. It's based on what you're purchasing. So I guess I want to repeat the question. Are you okay with a regressive tax of that nature?
You know, we honestly, and I'm not trying to be difficult, I swear, we do not see it as a regressive tax. You know, we actually just sent a letter to the governor and to the budget department. We had almost 30 different organizations ranging from public health organizations like ours, the NAACP, the Nurses Association, all hospitals from all across the state who are supporting this tobacco tax. It is widely supported from constituents, from organizations, legislators support it because the public health benefits are so strong.
Menthol cigarettes are popular for young people because they're less harsh to smoke. And I'm curious, are you going to be making a legislative push in 2021 to try to get these menthol cigarettes banned so that you could potentially find another way to address young people who are smoking?
Absolutely. You know, tobacco control is all about taking a comprehensive approach, right? We know that not one single thing is going to beat back the tobacco industry. We need to take a comprehensive look at it. We are absolutely going to be continuing our efforts from last year to end the sale of all flavored tobacco products. So last year, New York State did end the sale of flavored e-cigarettes, but we do have a lot more work to do to get rid of menthol cigarettes, to get rid of flavored cigars, anything that has that flavor in there that we know hooks kids. And that's why the tobacco industry has put it in there, right? Nobody wants to taste the taste of tobacco, right? You add menthol to cigarettes to help ease that harshness, and that cooling factor makes it so it's easier to inhale deeper. And if you know anything about cigarettes, you know you do not want to be inhaling them deeper. That's for sure.
I got to chime in here. I think just everybody needs to realize that the only thing that belongs in our lungs is air. That's what our lungs were created for.
Well, in that same vein, Doctor, what do you think of this sort of transition a lot of smokers are making to vaping products? Is that a safer alternative, or is there no such thing as a safer alternative when it comes to how we ingest nicotine?
In my opinion, I will say it is. We don't have a ton of data, but there is more research coming out about the dangers of vaping. The only thing that belongs in our lungs is air. And as for other dangers of people chewing tobacco, I mean, I really haven't seen one benefit of tobacco ingestion in any form.
And finally, Caitlin, in terms of this dollar per pack tax that you guys are trying to get approved, is this something that you think needs to be done through the governor's executive proposal, or do you think that this is something where state lawmakers, maybe with their new supermajorities, can, you know, muscle through?
Yeah, good question. You know, we are absolutely calling on the governor to include this in his executive budget. The good news is we have some incredible support from the legislature. We actually have two bills sponsored by Assemblywoman Rosenthal and Senator Stavisky and Hoylman, and together they would actually increase tobacco taxes across the board by $1.89. So increase cigarette tax by $1.89 and then establish tax parity for those other tobacco products. So, you know, our first call is the governor to get this done in the executive budget. You know, we don't want to wait. We want to make sure that this is included in it, and we shouldn't have to, you know, keep New Yorkers waiting for a solution when we know how impactful these taxes will be.
Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Disha Mukherjee, a cardiologist at Saratoga Hospital and member of the Capital Region Board of Directors of the American Heart Association, and Caitlin O'Brien, the New York Director of Government Relations for the American Heart Association. Doctor and Caitlin, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you so much for having us on.
You've been listening to the Capital Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.